right, let's do this. Hello, everybody. Phil Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. And we have an hour that is just loaded with content today on the Buckmaster Show. Tuesday, July the 7th, 2015. We're going to get things going with Terry Bracey, our contributor in Washington, followed by a man who just gave me a thumbs up. That means the market's actually doing pretty well. Shelley Fishman, certified financial advisor, with us at approximately 12:20, 12:30. Senator John McCain will join us, followed at 12:45 by Dr. Ray Woosley with our Your Meds segment. The live line number 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. So let's get right into it now to the nation's capital and the live line, where Terry Bracey is waiting. Mr. Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. He's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents, among other prestigious clients, the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing just great. We've had 15 inches of rain. I wish I could send some of it to you.
Whoa.
Yeah. We're ready to build an ark here.
We got a little rain. The monsoon's cranking up. Summer thunderstorms, but, of course, nothing in those proportions. You know, I've kind of given up looking at the Cubs in the daily. You know, of course, I'm a diehard Cub fan. Looking at the National League standings, the last I saw, I think they were about 8 games out. Folks had a little higher hopes.
No?
No, listen. What?
If they were to shut down today,
mm-hmm,
there would be 4 teams in the playoffs in the National League. It would be the Nationals, the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Cubs.
Oh, man, I'm out of touch.
Well, the Central Division is the dominant division in the National League,
mm-hmm,
and the Cubs are right in it. Yeah, they've got every chance to go all the way. Great young team, fabulous team.
Hey, Terry, it's been a busy summer is usually a slow time in the nation's capital, but everybody was focused on these Supreme Court decisions, of course, with the Supreme Court decisions on gay marriage and the Affordable Care Act getting the most attention. But our Arizona redistricting case really caused quite a stir. A lot of people were looking at this for national implications.
Well, it's a big deal. I wish I had Don Luce here to explain it better than I can, but let me kind of give you a sense. And first, let me note, it's kind of interesting how many important cases have come out of our state. We had the Miranda decision, which detailed the rights of the accused. We had Arizona v. California, which established the entitlements on the Colorado River. Those are just two. Now comes this challenge by the Arizona State Legislature to an independent redistricting system that was approved by the voters in 2000. The Republican legislature was unhappy with the districts that were drawn, and they have sent two cases to the court to try to overturn the result.
So this case then was part of those two challenges?
This was the first of two.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, the plaintiffs, that is the legislature, argued that the U.S. Constitution only allowed state legislatures to determine electoral districts. And, Bill, in fact, literally that's the case. But the court majority found that the initiative process used by Arizona citizens was just as good as that and, in fact, met the meaning of the Constitution, which sought to have electoral districts reflect the true will of the people. So the initiative process, they said, is just another way.
So how important is this decision, Terry Bracey, and does it have national implications?
Yeah, Bill, I think it's important for two reasons. First reason is that it's obvious that the court is now focusing on gerrymandering as an evil in the democratic process, and it seems now bent on bringing cases forward that maybe preclude reforms, particularly since Congress has been unable to deal with it. There will, as we said, be a second Arizona case on this subject, and also one out of Texas that challenges the one-man, one-vote principle. So the court's aggressively stepping into the political picture again. So that's one reason it's important. The second reason is that this case really may set off a nationwide initiative movement for independent commissions, which is exactly the opposite of what the Arizona State Legislature wanted. But that's often the case. When you go to court, you don't know what's going to happen.
So you've got this one case being a decision on the one. What about the other?
Well, the second Arizona case was filed by a group of rural Republican voters who complained that they are voiceless because they were thrown by the commission into a district shaped for Democratic minority voters, mainly a Hispanic district. In the lower court decision, the commission responded that they drew these districts to meet the demands of the Justice Department under the Voting Rights Act, and they have to protect the rights of minorities. The court agreed at the lower level, but it's interesting that the Supreme Court has now accepted that appeal. And, you know, this is basically a challenge to the shaping of what are known as majority-minority districts and the Voting Rights Act itself.
So this is interesting. You mentioned the Texas case that was, what did you say, one vote?
Well, we talked about this a little bit last month. It's really caught my attention. And this case goes to how the population of congressional districts are counted. So today, Bill, most districts have about 700,000 people, including many non-voters, such as children or immigrants. The Texas Republican Party wants only registered voters to be counted in the future. So that 700,000 or whatever number will all have to be registered voters. And this challenges the basic premise of the one man, one vote decision, or at least it reinterprets it. So analysts say if the court goes along with this, this would favor the GOP, and it would give more clout to rural areas and the suburbs.
Well, that one we'll have to watch very carefully. The fight certainly goes on, doesn't it, Terry?
Yeah, and isn't that the great thing about our democracy, Bill? I mean, these battles are fought at the ballot box and in the courts and hopefully not in the streets. We have our problems for sure, and sometimes they take us a long time to solve, and yet it's an adaptable system that almost always works over time, and maybe that's why we just celebrated our freedom again on the 4th of July.
And Congress is back at it after the 4th of July. And what is this about a government funding fight, Terry Bracey, that's shaping up as a major partisan brawl? Is it here we go again?
Well, I think they'll come to some conclusion here. And I understand you've got Senator McCain mm-hmm. following, and he'll have a lot to say, no doubt, about sequestration. What's going on with that, and its impact on the defense budget, which is something of grave concern to those who are concerned about the national security budget. But also, as a trade-off, if they're going to change and put more money into that budget, I mean, there's $38 billion that they're attempting to add to the military budget and put it off budget so it's not counted. Put it as an emergency fund. Well, the Democrats and the liberals are now objecting to that and saying, all right, if you're going to, whatever means you use, if you're going to add money, substantial amount of money to the military budget, we want to see money added to the domestic programs, everything from health care to education to job training. And so, yeah, we're headed for something of a showdown, but I think we'll get through it.
There is a deadline coming up, and this one's right up your alley, about transportation. I believe July 31st, at the top of the list on this renewing highway funding before the government loses the authority on the 31st.
Yeah, and we have been so negligent as a country with our infrastructure. It's almost hard for me to believe. When I was a young man, I was Assistant Secretary of Transportation, and we looked at the Highway Trust Fund in our interstate system as the golden investment in the United States. And we were proud of our airports. We were building Atlanta. We were building Dulles. We were doing all the new infrastructure across the country. Well, somewhere along the way, Congress lost its taste for enacting any kind of user tax. you know, the way we fund the Highway Trust Fund is we put a penny or two on the gas tax, and for every penny you get $1 billion in construction money. Well, that just came to a dead halt in the early 2000s, and the fact now, Bill, is that the Highway Trust Fund is bankrupt.
Mm.
Congress has not been able to put together a long-term transportation bill for a number of years, hasn't been able to put together an FAA bill for our airports for a number of years, and frankly, I think it's a scandal.
Yeah, and you have people that fly all over the world always remark that some of our airports are in terrible condition when they see some of the Asian airports and some of the European airports. So there's certainly a lot of work on catching up now that we're going to be having to do, Terry Bracey.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, it impacts us in Tucson. Many of our projects that that have been funded, transit, as well as our crosstown, you know, the Keno Parkway, Cold Road. We could go right through the city of Tucson and see where the federal funding's had a huge impact. And I fully believe that after we get through this next presidential election, whomever the victor may be, I think there's going to be a major, major national push for a new era of infrastructure building in the United States.
I agree. Terry Bracey, thank you. Always a pleasure. 1216. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Bill.
Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show from Washington, D.C. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And they're really excited about the Hummingbird Festival that they have coming up. And that is the weekend of July the 18th and 19th. If you love hummingbirds, you're going to see incredible varieties and species of hummingbirds. And it's all happening at the Little Toad Inn and Tavern, Junction 35 and 15, near Lake Roberts, near Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. And so many great places to stay, like Little Toad Inn and Tavern. You can find the full listing of things to do and places to stay by visiting their website, and that is southwestnewmexico.org. Shelley Fishman is next.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
We're Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we hope, and I recommend, that that financial advisor that you will be consulting with will be Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Hi, Shel.
Hey, Bill.
Well, it's another Tuesday, and it means usually when we talk on Tuesday, the market's gone down.
It went down early today a lot.
Very big. And now it's back up almost 80. Very good.
And there's nothing on the wires that would indicate what has gone on that is giving, you know, the big investors some hope that the Europeans will figure this out.
Well, everybody's wondering, and everybody's got an opinion, it seems like, on how to solve this mess in Greece. So what do you think might work?
Well, I'm going to go back to an IMF study that recently was published, and we saw a nice summary of it in The New Yorker just a day or two ago. What the IMF has done is they've tried to evaluate what the alternatives might be for Greece based upon several variables. And one of the variables, of course, is the amount of money they owe. Another variable is what is the forecasted growth in their economy and how that would affect their ability to pay back loans. Another variable might be some of the relaxation in the terms on that debt. Right now, Greek debt is running at around 170% of their GDC. And GDC was, you know, thought that it would be normalized at around 2%, but it's currently negative. They're in recession. So whether they can pay back that money is really a function of whether the economy picks up and then how strongly it picks up. Are we assuming over the next 40 years a 3% growth average? Are we assuming a 2.5% growth average? And unless you get into the upper ranges of what's possible and what's even historically relevant in terms of looking at the history, you come to the conclusion that there needs to be, in addition to good progress in the economy, there needs to be some relief. And that relief can take the form of, for instance, if they only had to pay back interest instead of for 10 years, if they were interest only for 20 years, or if they could delay any payments for a while. So, and that's all assuming a mechanism that would not provide principal relief, but would provide relief in how the money gets paid back. Now, clearly, if you're delaying payback, then that affects the creditors. But at least it keeps them whole in the long run. But the IMF comes to the conclusion that almost regardless of what happens, the economy cannot grow quickly enough. And so there is going to have to be some haircut, if mm-hmm. you will, some amount off the principal that the creditors are going to have to give the Greeks in order to make it possible for the Greek economy to survive. And, you know, it's not clear what that amount would be, would that amount be 10%, 20%, 30%? The IMF's best guess right now is 30%, and that's pretty big number. But then you have to ask the question, in relation to what? Well, in relation to a total default, that's not a bad number at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point where we're really at the door here, whether Greece stays in the European Union.
Right, and you know, that's really, I think, for the Europeans to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
We can, our press certainly can provide all sorts of advice to our trading partners in Europe. But at the end of the day, that's going to have to be something that's worked out by the Europeans. That being said, it affects us. And you know, I've always said, because you're mm-hmm. midway in our sessions, you always say, well, how does this affect U.S.
investors?
And that
was my next question. It was on my lips.
Right. So the question, or the answer that I always give, is with a question. Mm-hmm. Has anything fundamentally changed in the economy that would lead you to believe that you need to change course one way or the other? And now, and though I'm still very optimistic about even the prospects for this year, what has fundamentally changed is that if, in fact, the Europeans do not get this worked out
mm-hmm.
ASAP,
mm-hmm.
what we're going to continue to see is a rise in the dollar
yep.
vis-a-vis the euro.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say, okay, so what? Mm-hmm. Well, what that does is that makes U.S. exports more expensive to the Europeans, and therefore the propensity to buy U.S. goods goes down. It makes their goods more attractive to us, which means that we'll tend to buy more of their stuff, which has an unsettling effect on our balance of payments. And that's pretty fundamental stuff. So if our manufacturers are not able to continue to grow to meet U.S. consumer demands, then that could really slow down the growth of the U.S. economy. Now, the good news is, with our current unemployment rate, regardless of how you measure it, you know, the 5.2 or the 11, whatever it is, so long as you're consistently using the same methodology every time you look at it, being close to what is considered full employment, then that would indicate that wages should rise, and they have begun to go up, and that will give the American consumers some money to spend. That could, in fact, affect our manufacturing as manufacturing shifts to U.S. consumer goods away from exports. God, that was a lot to say.
Well, there's a lot on the plate. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. It's going to become increasingly, as this thing drags on, keep an eye on the U.S. dollar versus the euro. And some folks have been predicting, even before all this, that we would see parity with the dollar and the euro.
And that could happen if the bond markets in Europe begin to feel the effects of either a Greek exit from the Eurozone or from agreeing to some sort of haircut or extended terms in terms of payment back of that debt, then we could see further weakening of the euro. Within the Eurozone, that's not going to have a tremendous effect. And within the United States, it wouldn't ordinarily, except that the world is so integrated now that it changes the propensity of our biggest trading partner to buy stuff from us.
Shelley Fishman with us, about ready to wrap it up with Shelley. China, meanwhile, some folks have been saying that is a problem, and that's probably for another session, but their market is off.
Problem.
Yeah, it's a different problem.
It's a problem for the Chinese. It's a problem for the people the Chinese do a lot of business with, because as their markets go down and their growth, you know, they talk about 7-8% growth. It's probably really 3.5 or 4% when you take all the politics out of the numbers. But that means that their demand for stuff, especially that the emerging markets and the third world countries provide to them, that demand goes down. That has a tremendous effect on commodities, rolls into oil, and that's another topic. Okay. But it can't be ignored.
All right. We've got Senator McCain coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, but we want to wish Shelley all the best. Shell, I hope you have a great week.
And to you, Bill. Stay dry.
And the best place to reach you, Shelley Fishman.
Buckmastershow.com, and just hit the hyperlink to me, and that reaches me, and I call back.
There you go. Thanks, Shell. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bill.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com, published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for our quarterly Tucson Air Service update. Plus, Jason Jacobs joins us. Jason is the administrator with the Reed Park Zoo. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, and we've got Anywhere in the World live streaming podcasts and show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:33 on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. And Senator John McCain, the Senate Armed Services Chair, is with us on the live line. Senator, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, and I would like to congratulate you on being selected to the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, and of course, I hope there's a lot of money in it for you so that you'll have a comfortable retirement years.
Yeah, do I get a big ring on my finger? big Hall of Fame ring. Man, you had a busy morning today, didn't you?
Yes, you did.
Talking about what to do with Islamic State. What's the bottom line there as far as you're concerned?
The bottom line is that we have no strategy. We have allowed ISIS to grow and flourish. There is no coherent addressing of it, and probably as startling as anything I've seen lately is that the whole effort to train and equip these moderates to go in and fight against ISIS, they're now 60. Now, they say that they're going to train thousands more. This war is in its fourth year. The ISIS has been on the rise, and we have now trained 60. And the goal for the year was 5,400 for this year. It just shows the disarray of this administration, and the president has no strategy, and the president it doesn't seem to care. So it's really saddening. As you know, in Syria, where we're supposed to be training these people for, there have been 230,000 killed and something like 3.5 million refugees. The United Nations report last week said there are more refugees now in the world than any time since the end of World War II. And, of course, most of those are in the Middle East.
Our friend James Kelly has been waiting on our live line, has a question for you, Senator McCain. Go ahead, Jim. How are you?
Good afternoon, Senator. My biggest concern is, what are we doing for the Free Syrian Army, and what are we doing to protect the minority Christian populations of all the conflicts that are going on in the Middle East?
Well, first of all, on the Christian community, of course, they're probably suffering the most, the vicious ISIS as well as the other problems that they face, but particularly ISIS. And what are we doing in the Free Syrian Army? Nothing. As I just mentioned, 60 have been trained, and the guesstimates, by the way, are is at least 1,000 a month are coming in from all over the world to fight for ISIS. So I'm sorry to tell you that one of the real groups that have really suffered since this whole thing started has been the Christian community, since those are the first people that they either kill or enslave. And, of course, as you know, the terrible things they do with young women, and that's really disturbing.
Senator, the president continues to say that we are making progress. I think he said yesterday, he said that the Islamic State is losing ground. How can he justify that statement when things look so bleak over there for the United States?
He can't justify it. He's been saying that all along. And by the way, if we had not withdrawn all of our troops from Iraq, this situation would never have evolved. ISIS is the child of Al-Qaeda, and ISIS now has a capital. It now has a territory that it controls. It has millions of dollars they got at the Mosul Bank when Mosul fell, the second largest city in Iraq, and, of course, all kinds of military equipment of ours. This is an abject failure, and, of course, we've seen them, unfortunately, we've seen them on the Internet in beheading American citizens. So this is a failed, feckless foreign policy, which is going to take us years to recover from.
You returned from Kabul, Afghanistan. How many times have you been to Afghanistan? It's got to be a lot.
I think it's about 20 times over the last 14 years, at least. I try to go every 4th of July. They usually do. We have reenlistment ceremonies, and I do town halls, and I always meet and have a chance to meet our Arizona ones. For example, there's a EC-130 outfit that's based out of Davis Mountain that I had a really nice meeting with, and I met with other Arizona Guard members of the Arizona Guard, and with many who are just, you know, with the different services, had lunch with them and had a cup of coffee with a group of them, and you know, it's very, look, you know, there's nothing, frankly, that uplifts me more than to spend time in the company of the men and women from Arizona and in our country that are serving in the military. There's none better.
Are we pushing this Afghanistan withdrawal a little too fast, Senator McCain?
You will see the same movie we saw in Iraq if we do what the president is saying, and that is he wants everybody out by 2017. The Taliban are making a comeback. The ISIS is now gaining traction. The Iranians are giving weapons to the Taliban. The Taliban still have sanctuary with the Haqqani network in Pakistan. And again, what the president's delusion is that he wants to get America out of wars, but he doesn't understand that wars don't necessarily end because we leave. In fact, they get a lot worse. And as you know, ISIS has dedicated themselves to attacking the United States of America over the 4th of July. We had heightened security, and that, of course, is an indication of the challenge and threat that we face in the United States. And so I say to our dear friends who are listening, who say, what is this fight about? We don't want to have America involved, and nor do I. But when they want to come to the United States and attack us, which our Secretary of Homeland Security and the head of the FBI have said they want to do, then it matters what happens over there.
Senator John McCain with us on the Buckmaster Show on the live line from Washington. And for those that continue to worry, and people should be concerned about the future of the A-10 at Davis Mountain, what do you say to our listeners who are very worried?
Well, I'm happy to tell you that the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, just last week issued a report saying that the Air Force's plan for replacing the A-10 was basically worthless. They're trying to say they want to replace it with a B-1 bombers and the F-35, which is about 10 times the cost. We have in the authorization bill in both House and Senate keeping the A-10 at Davis Mountain. The bad news is the president has threatened to veto the entire bill because of the way that we fund the bill, the authorization. He should be doing that if he has a problem on the appropriations bill, which is the money bill. And so if he does veto it and his veto is sustained, it'll be the first time in 53 years that we have not passed an authorization bill because of our obligation to train, equip, and operate the men and women serving in the military. And unfortunately, at the hearing this morning, Secretary Carter said that he agreed with the president that he should veto it on the funding issue, and that's unfortunate.
We have a lot of veterans in our community that listen to this radio program, Senator McCain, and they're very concerned about the VA. And it looks on the surface that the VA hasn't made much progress in trying to speed up appointment times for our veterans.
Well, not only have they not sped up the appointment times, the scandals go on. For example, they are trying to build a VA hospital in Denver, and it's already had a $1.7 billion cost overrun. You know, I negotiated with Bernie Sanders, the only announced socialist in the Senate, this VA bill, and I'll admit to making some concessions, but the major feature that I wanted in it was a choice card. In other words, someone who lives more than 40 miles from the nearest VA facility, they can have a card that would allow them to get treatment of their choice rather than have to travel all that distance. Well, the first thing the VA did was have a direct line as the crow flies. Well, our veterans don't fly like crows. And then they are trying to take money out of the choice card to pay for these cost overruns that they're experiencing. And so the bureaucracy is fighting it tooth and nail. And I would love to tell you that things have improved dramatically. There has been some improvement, but for example, the person who was fired from the head of the VA hospital in Phoenix, which, as you know, was where all this started, is now suing to get her job back. You can't make that up.
All right, Senator McCain, we're going to let you go. You've had a busy day, and I appreciate you being on the program. Thank you, sir.
Could I just mention, Bill, I was very happy to see we had this road realignment out at Raytheon, which will allow the building of another runway at Tucson International, and will connect up some of our much-needed thoroughfares, and we'll continue on that, and we're trying to get a highway bill that would connect us, Tucson, with Mexico, and then further north all the way to Las Vegas. So we're continuing to work on that as well. And we have additional funding for additional missiles in Raytheon in our bill as well, which, as you know, is hugely important to Southern Arizona.
I do know it well. Thank you very much, Senator. Have a great afternoon and evening, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Senator John McCain with us on the Buckmaster Show, where it is exactly 12:45, and we still have a lot to come. We have our monthly Your Meds segment, some very important information about the latest in cancer treatment coming up with Dr. Woosley right after this. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our once a month segment on your meds, a way to focus on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Meds segment, sponsored by Credible Meds and crediblemeds.org. With us is Dr. Ray Woosley, former UA College of Medicine Dean and founder and now President Emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, which just celebrated, believe it or not, its 10th anniversary. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. Credible Meds website visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Bill.
Well, we after some bad news about what to do about ISIS and talking a little bit about the economy, I think there's some good news regarding treatment of cancer.
There is, absolutely. And it's a unique, it's an unusual circumstance when I can talk about good news out of cancer, but it's here. You know, our whole concept is changing very rapidly. We used to have this idea that cancer would occur late in life because as you age, your cells don't reproduce normally and you get these mutations that just set off this explosion of growth. And that that this happens late in life usually, but it can occur anytime. But that theory is now changing because we are learning that these mutations happen all the time. It's just part of normal reproduction of cells in our body.
So healthy people, in other words, can have and do have a constant mutation of cells.
Right. And our immune system, though, cleans it up. They go in, they recognize these mutated cells very early, and they get rid of them and keep them from growing. So cancer isn't a new mutation. It's when a new mutation gets by our sentry, gets by our surveillance system and starts growing. So that really is a subtle but big difference in how you're going to approach it, because you want to go focus on the problem, not try to cure the cancer after it's already like a volcano erupting and changing so rapidly. You want to help the immune system prevent the problem from starting and catch it like it normally does every day in all of us.
And of course, chemotherapy is bombarding the system with, in many cases, very toxic drugs.
Almost entirely, because it's based on a wrong theory. It's based on these cells in cancer are growing very rapidly, so let's stop growth. Well, that works, but you pay a price for it because our body has cells that need to grow. They're in our blood. We need to reform our blood all the time. The most obvious thing is our hair. We're growing new hair all the time, and when you take chemo, you lose all your hair. You lose the cells that line your intestines and your bladder. So there's serious side effects from those drugs. But they've been important, but as you and I were talking earlier, we're going to look back on them and put them in the category of leeches one day.
Yeah, so one day, and hopefully that day will be coming very soon when chemotherapy will be looked at as ancient and in many cases kind of brutal history. So the new approach focuses now on what, Dr. Woosley?
Well, there's two aspects of it. It's focusing on the immune system. Help the immune system do its job, and then you won't get cancer. if you can continue to identify these cells very early by keeping your immune system intact, then, you know, it's interesting. I just thought of this. The way we discovered AIDS, which is loss of the immune system, is they developed cancers of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So the immune system can keep us from getting cancer. It can prevent it. But when we do get cancer, we are already finding ways to use, to rev up the immune system to help fight the cancer. And there are studies like the one at Duke where they take the poliovirus, make it non-infective so it doesn't have the ability it normally does, but inject that into a tumor, and then the body's immune system goes after the polio and gets the cancer also. There are people now who've lived several years after that kind of treatment that normally, this is brain cancer, normally their life expectancy is about 12 months at most.
And some of these people have been, I understand there's been patients with total cures, at least in the initial studies.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
It is, and it's really encouraging. The pharmaceutical industry is now really investing in changing its focus from chemo to how do we improve the function of the immune system. And we locally have to be proud. We have two of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world that came to Tucson because of scientists at the University of Arizona, Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi. These are, and then smaller companies that are a little further, not as far along, like cancer prevention pharmaceuticals, getting at how do you use medicines to keep the immune system functioning. HTG, another company. All these companies are really they're turning on a dime to focus on the immune system. Or like cancer prevention, they were there ahead of everybody. They had the theory before others recognized it.
And the University of Arizona is at the core of these successful companies here locally.
Absolutely. They are where the seeds are planted, and this community has really invested in making these companies successful. And on the bond issue that's coming up in November, mm-hmm. I hope people will look at that bond carefully, because in there are many things that are really important to this community. But two items are there to create business accelerators, incubators, to help more Ventanas, more Sanofis get started. Once they're going, they'll do well. But, you know, how do you get a company going that takes, where your first product, your first sales won't occur for 10 years? I mean, it's very difficult. It took a long time for Ventana and Sanofi and these companies to get where they are. We can speed that up. CPATH is helping do that. But this bond issue is going to be very important, and I hope everybody looks at it seriously and carefully. And it will help get us more cures for cancer right here in Tucson and create the jobs that go with that.
And you were the creator of the CPATH group, and that was 10 years ago. It's hard to believe.
It is amazing how time has flown.
And how have they done over that 10-year period?
It's just amazing how we started with this idea that mm-hmm. the FDA and the industry could collaborate. They could meet on neutral ground here in Tucson. And they now have over 75 companies sharing how to test drugs. They have an annual budget, I think, of $15 million. The money for this came from this community, the city, the county, foundations, the Brown Family Foundation, Don Diamond, Jim Click. I shouldn't start naming because mm-hmm. I'll leave somebody mm-hmm. out. The Tucson Association of Realtors. These people came, it was a grassroots effort, and it's being extremely successful. They have 9 new consortia to speed up drug development, and they're doing it.
And you felt that need to speed up was from your own personal experience, correct, Dr. Woosley?
It was. I had seen these products that should be available and curing people take 10, 15, 20 years, failing when I knew these medicines could work, but they just couldn't make it to market because we weren't testing them the way we knew you could. But we couldn't get an agreement between the companies and the FDA on how to speed up drug development because they were adversaries. Now CPATH has brought them together to find the fastest, most reliable way to get medicines to the people that need them.
That's the Critical Path Institute, which is based right here in Tucson.
On River Road.
And now your latest venture doing very well, Credible Meds. If someone has any information, or if someone needs any information about a particular medicine, that's the place to go to, correct?
We have a lot of information. We don't have it all, but what we have is, quote, credible. We don't have a dog in the fight as financially. We don't accept funding from drug companies or diagnostic companies or insurance companies, all who care about the medicines you take. We want you just to take the ones that can help you and in the ways that they can help you.
It's very easy. Just type in the name of the medication at crediblemeds.org.
That's right. You can create your own medicine list, and you can scan it for safety and see if it has any problems that you'd like to let your doctor know about.
All right. Dr. Ray Woosley, thank you very much. We'll look forward to your visit with us in August. Where has the summer gone?
I know.
Thanks a lot, Ray Woosley, with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, another one of our fine local talk shows, 4 to 5. It's Mike Shaw for Tucson at 4. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson. Chris and Joe will be back at it from 6 to 8. Then Christy, Simone, and a different guest host every day from 8 to 9 right here on KVOI, Tucson's Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster along with our friend Ed Alexander. Ed and I will see you back here at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.